Lord, go ahead and start me up, brother. Praise God. I thank God that for the honor of gracing this pulpit up here in Jackson, Tennessee. And I thank God that He always gives me a good word to give out to you. All things from God are good. They come down. He withholds no good thing from us. I thank God that He's a generous God. Amen. Yes. And I got to thinking, you know, how many of us, we usually have just one front door in our house, don't we? We have one welcoming door, do we not? Does anybody have more than one front door? Well, I got news for you. God's house has 12 welcoming doors. Now think about that. That's heaven. Read it in Revelation, you'll find out there's three doors on each side. Heaven is square, it's equal. And Jesus is the way. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a King of the tribe of Judah, and it's through one of the tribes of which you are. We are all part of Israel, and you get in through one of the 12 tribes. Those are one of the 12 welcoming doors. And think about that. We only have one door in our homes welcoming people in. God has 12. Think about that. I don't know why I wanted to share that before my message, but I thought it was good. When God gave it to me, I said, wow, you have 12 welcoming doors. Front doors. Hallelujah. The message of today is called Shake the Snake Off into the Fire. Woo! The snake is a liar, and God is true. God is true. Let every man and every man a liar. Amen. God is true. And the snake is a liar. He's a father of lies. But we have good news. We are overcomers by the blood and by the word of our testimony about Him. And all that He's done for each and every one of us. Amen. He delivered me from a lot of things, and I thank Him for it every day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that I can proclaim Your truths and Your blessings to these hungry heart saints. God, I thank You that all good things come down from You and that You just abundantly lavish us with all good things. And we thank You for it, God. We want to declare that You reign and that You are our God. And we thank You, God, for what You're going to do today and the message. And we look forward to Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Right after a great move of God, or a miraculous event that God shows Himself strong, the devil is ready to attack us in any way that he can. You know, our God wants to bless us in any way that he can. Of course, the devil is the opposite. He wants to attack us in any way that he can. We have made the snake mad recently. I can tell you right now, the snake ain't happy, and that's okay with me. Richard Reeves' outreach was a huge success in Corinth and up here. Hallelujah. And plus, we've recently come from the best fall feast we've ever experienced. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord was evident and as we prepared for the feast and celebrated coming out of sin and praised and worshiped God. We were built up by the word from all the speakers. God was mighty among us as He inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. And many were healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, especially a lot of the young people. The Lord blessed us, enabled us to baptize six people into the kingdom of God. Not into any church, any denomination, but into the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Thank God. As much as we would like to, until we are in the new heaven and the new earth, we cannot stay on the mountaintop experience indefinitely. When He comes and rescues us, then we'll be able to. But until then, we got to fight our sinful nature. Amen. But it's an ongoing battle, but we have the ability through Christ to be overcomers. Hallelujah. When we start to come down, the enemy of our soul is there to discourage us. You all know the story of the storm at sea in Acts chapter 28. After God saved Paul and 275 other men from a great storm, Paul and the men were washed ashore on the island of Malta. Please turn to Acts 28. Acts 28. And I'll read to you what happened to Paul. This is right after being rescued from Acts 28. We're going to read 3 through 5. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from Paul's hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire, woo, hallelujah, and suffered no ill effects. Praise God. You know, we can shake off that snake, amen. If something that traumatic happened to us, we'd be quick to shake the snake too, would we not? I know I would. When evil snakes bite, however, it is not as obvious as Paul's was. There are small snake-like demons attaching themselves to us that we may or may not even be aware of. There are some on us now. In the form of false doctrines or bad habits or anti-Semitic thoughts, things over the years that have formed, we can't let them feed off of us and grow strong, where they become too familiar and are therefore accepted. We've been lied to and robbed of blessings from the enemy. Amen. Like Sunday worship, when everyone knows Saturday is the true Sabbath. Hallelujah. It's kind of like a whale going through the world, his world, in the ocean. There are hundreds of small creatures attaching themselves to him to eat from his strength that he is not even aware of. He must rise above his environment by leaping out of the water and crashing back down again to get those unwanted creatures off. We, in the same way, have to rise above our flesh, receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, the infilling, where we and let the Holy Spirit shake off those demonic snakes. Amen. The well has to come out of the water. We have to be willing to walk on the water. Amen. Get out of our environment. Woo. It even gets rid of the ones we're not aware of. We cannot let sins, no matter how small we think they are, attach to us. All sin drains us and separates us from God. The devil is in the details, the little things that we tolerate as, oh, it's okay because everyone else is, I mean, that's just the way things are. It's no big deal. You know, it won't harm us. But things we know are wrong are sin. Amen? We do rationalize when we shouldn't as that they're not too bad, but they really are little snakes that attach to us and eventually inject enough venom to destroy us. We don't like to be shook up by the enemy, but there's a whole nother shaking going on. Woo! Have you ever got the Holy Ghost and just started shaking in the Holy Ghost? That's when all them snakes go flying. I mean, it's like attaching them to an overhead fan and turning it on high speed and watch things fly off, man. It's like the devil can't handle the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to explain that it's true about the snakes are not able to hold on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God's word shakes people up. Hallelujah. Do you tremble at his word? You need to, because when you do is when them snakes start flying. When the fear of God hits our inside, we are convicted. And a virtuous vibration, that's what I'm going to call it. Virtuous vibration. Just we've all seen Pastor Bill do it, and I've had it. And it's just something that just automatically hits you when the Holy Ghost is strong. You start shaking, and that's what gets rid of the enemy. Amen. Praise God. That virtuous vibration starts deep inside of us, and we begin to tremble and shake. How many times have we been shaken when the Holy Spirit rises up in us through the hearing or reading of his word? Turn to Hebrews 12, please. Hebrews 12. And we're going to read verses 25 through 29 in the NIV. All scripture is NIV unless I say otherwise. Hallelujah, that's what we use. But we're not absolutely have to have a certain translation. We believe in most all translations to be used. Amen? Amen. It's all God's word. It's all true. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:25 through 29. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them from earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Verse 26, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. So what can be shaken? Go back to verse 27. What can be shaken? Hallelujah. Let me read it over again. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. Created things can be shaken, the fleshly, temporal things, but God's kingdom cannot be shaken because it's eternal. With the ministry of Richard Reeves bringing God's word of truth before the people, people who can hear are beginning to shake and quake, and the devil's little snakes are flying off. Not just seven ways, but 70 times seven. Hallelujah. I got news for you. That is going to shake some people up when they really hear the truth. And when they receive the truth, they're then responsible for the truth. And I believe we're going to see an increase in the kingdom of God. You know, we're not into numbers. We're not into numbers. God's not into numbers. He's into Leviticus, Genesis, and all the rest of the Old Testament, but the Torah. But he's not into numbers. He is into people coming into the kingdom. And we are, you know, he calls us a small flock, but don't despise things that are small. I got news for you. There are small little pockets of God's remnant people all over this world. And there are millions of people that keep his holy Sabbath Saturday, the seventh day. Hallelujah. And we're going to celebrate that forever. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, where was I? All right. All pagan gods are created things. Look at Hebrews 12:27 again, which we just read. I'm sorry. Read my own. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Let's go there. We need to hold on to truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. I'm going to read not all of it, but some of it. Test everything, hold on to the good. You know, we as God-fearing, Torah-observant, Spirit-filled Christians are shaken by God's word, and that's a good thing. Good things are God things. That shaking or trembling is called conviction. Conviction is a gift from God that leads to repentance. Amen. Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. Let's go there. Hallelujah. God is so kind to us. Amen. Romans 2, 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kingdom, kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Thank you, Lord. You lead us to being upright in you. Hallelujah. The word of God will make people tremble even out of earthly fear. Remember the story Bill told about he used to read the word when he got, you know, when he was in the world and how he got shook up over it? Well, how much more when one is filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen? Hold on to truth and let the Lord remove the snakes. See, he does the shaking. If we're hanging on to him, he'll shake the snakes off for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you hold on to Yeshua, you become like him. When you hold on to lies, like the snake, you become like him. Didn't Yeshua call the Pharisees vipers? The Pharisees became like snakes because they said one thing and did another. They had no love to obey God. We must always be teachable and willing to change to God's ways. Hallelujah. Let me give you a quote from Henry Blake. This is a quote from Henry Blake. You have to. Who is Henry Blake? You're going to have to look it up. A man who never alters his opinion is like standing water and breeds reptiles of the mind. You know, we have to keep that fountain of living water flowing, folks, in us, out of us, to others. We cannot let it become a dead sea. There are people trying to live off highs they had in the Holy Ghost 27 years ago. And it's become standing water, and it's breeding reptiles of the mind. It's stagnant and nasty. The Dead Sea is full of salt. That's because the ocean goes in it, but nothing ever comes out. And so everything dies in there because it's too much of one thing. You know, moderation in all things, God talks about in His Word. But you got to keep the flow of God going, amen? Otherwise, it turns to stagnant, stinking water. Hallelujah. And we don't want that. Amen. Turn to Job 27:6. Hallelujah. Job was a righteous man. God tested him to the 10th degree. But Job stood his ground. He knew that there was no temptation unto man that, you know, that God won't provide a way out. Amen. Job 27:6 says, I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. Job knew to hold on to truth, to hold on to God, to hold on to what he knew was righteous. Amen? His Lord. Turn to Mark 7. Mark 7. Hallelujah. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. This is red letter words, I believe, in Mark. Mark 7, verse 6 through 9. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Verse 7. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Verse 9, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. We cannot hold on to what can be shaken, but hold on to truth. Yeshua is truth. If you do hold on to Him, you'll have eternal rewards. Amen? Rewards only comes before trials in the dictionary. Rewards only comes before trials in the dictionary. You will be tested with trials, but intense trials bring immense rewards. Intense trials bring immense rewards. Hallelujah. Some of the most severe trials are the subtle ones. Remember, I was talking about all them little snakes. Ones that are not always obvious and have to do with time. Over time, the enemy of our soul has strategically steered our rudders. That's where we turn. And he's caused us to turn in the wrong direction. We are to go to the following coordinates in order to get our destination on this ship called life. We are to go to latitude and longitude, John 4:24. John 4:24. We all know that scripture. That's what this church believes in. That's what's on the front window down in the Corinth church, Corinth, Mississippi. John 4:24 says, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That's your coordinates right there. Hallelujah. Endurance or persistence, the same as perseverance, is endurance and persistence is key. Turn to James 1, please. James 1. And verse 3. There's things that, you know, when we are tested, that build us up. Amen? James 1, verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So testing builds up our perseverance. You know, we're in this for the long haul, are we not? Yes. We're in this as a forever thing. Amen? Hallelujah. So we must be persistent. Turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 22. You know, people aren't going to like it when we stand for righteousness, when we have the mind of Christ and we keep our mind stayed on Christ. People aren't going to like it because we're going to be living righteous and they can't. They're not tapping into the power of a relationship where they're friends with God. And people will hate us for no reason. Just because we're like Yeshua. Matthew 10, 22. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Amen. We have to stay to the end, folks. We are not to worry as much about our reputation as we are our character. Reputation is what man thinks of you. Character is who you really are and how God sees you. We carry our cross and suffer with a smile. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it is important to, it says not to let man despise you. It's good to have good reputation. But it's more important to have good character. Amen? All right, turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, please. Romans 5. That's where you find the Roman road. Romans 5, we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Praise God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Hallelujah. I read more than I should have, but that's okay. It's all good. Hallelujah. God builds our character sometimes through a storm, which is quicker, or He knows we have to go the long way around that storm or mountain to learn our lesson. How many of us have taken the long road? But God, you know, it talks about love in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. And the first thing, the attributes of love is patient. Love is kind. It goes on. But the first thing is love is patient. I really believe that the patience of God, the grace of God to give us time to learn about Him and get things right is so crucial. Amen? Amen. Much of Christendom today will tell you that once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that it will now be smooth sailing. That doesn't go along with John 16:33. John 16:33. You know, God is a God of peace. But the world is not on our side. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of churches are into that first sentence. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And they stop right there. But if you read the rest of it, in the world you will have tribulation. Now, we're going through some tribulation, but I know and believe God is going to rescue us out of tribulation, the main tribulation. Hallelujah. The next series of verses talk about the trials on land and on sea. Since I'm an ex-sailor, actually once a sailor, always a sailor, kind of. Let's test the waters and go sailing on the Mediterranean Sea. Turn to Psalm 107, please. Psalm 107, we're going to go sailing. Sailing, sailing. Psalm 107. You know, we talk about fellowship. Everything in the world points to the creation of God. Amen. Points to His masterpiece, the way He works, and His creation. The heavens itself cry out the creation of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 107. We're going to read 23 through 32. It's not, don't worry, it's not that long. It's all good. Psalm 107, 23 through 32. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wondrous deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. Verse 29, He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wondrous deeds of men. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. Hallelujah. All right. You know, He stilled the storm. People are glad when God does that. Amen? But sometimes we have to go through the storm. Amen. Amen. Turn to Luke 8, please. Luke 8. We're going to read Luke 8, and we're going to read verses 22 through 25. Now, this is Jesus' red-letter words. Let's go, verse 22. Let's go over to the other side of the lake. That's what He told His disciples. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, He fell asleep, meaning Jesus. A quail came down on the lake. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" Jesus said, He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey Him." God is in control of the storms, amen, of our life. He is there. We cry out to Him. Amen. He will answer us. Even when we're living in disobedience, God answers the call of people in distress. He gives us time. But He won't, you know, answer the call forever and forever. There's a time that He has to deal with men. Amen. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 77, we're going to read 19 and 20. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footsteps were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, God leads us on their paths in the ocean even. And God provides a way through, either by foot or by ship. Amen? Amen. People who do not really know Jesus, except in name only, will think of Him or cry out to Him only when in the storm of their life. They are then amazed when He is merciful and calms their storm. God is so patient with us. I think of 1 Corinthians 13 that lists patience as the first attribute. One day there will be too many cries of mercy by the disobedient, and God must then act in judgment according to His word. He will not deal with man forever. I got ahead of my writing, but that's all right. One must realize their total need for God for their life and be broken to obey Him. Calm seas do not make skilled sailors. Therefore, untested Christians do not make skilled soldiers of Christ. Good sailors know the sails have to be lifted at just the right time and at just the right angle in order to maximize the power to move with the wind. Amen? Same thing with the wind of the Holy Spirit. By the way, fully rigged merchant ships have 38 different sails. 38 sails. There was a picture of it in the dictionary, and I was And they listed all 38 sails. And each one has to be tilted or lifted or shifted in a certain way to maximize full power with the wind. Amen? We have to have sensitivity in the Spirit. The sails determine the direction that rudders have to be turned in order to keep an even keel. If the ship is turned contrary to the wind, it could cause the ship to capsize, even if the keel is okay. The keel is the main part of the ship that I'll explain as we go here. Have you ever heard the term, he keeled over? To keel over in sailing ship terms is to capsize or turn upside down. Have you ever seen an armadillo dead on the highway? They are heavy at the top and they flip over easy. I don't know why the Lord showed me that word picture, but I thought it was funny. Saw this armadillo with all his armor on the ground and his legs sticking straight up, and he was in trouble. Like us, if we get top heavy, the pride of our minds, we too will flip over easy in the storm, in the winds of life. We are to be heavy at our center foundation where we do not flip. We need to hold on to God. Amen? Ever seen a weeble? This is showing my age here. When I was a kid, they had little toys called weebles, and they were real heavy at the bottom. You could hit them, and they'd fall over, but they'd pop right back up. You've seen those airbags that you could blow up, and that you could hit it, punch it, and it would fall over, but stand right back up again. That's kind of like what a weeble was. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, was the slogan. We need to be like that. We need to be heavy into foundational truths, that even if we're knocked down, we're going to bounce right back up. Hallelujah. It's like a keel. The definition of a keel is a chief timber or steel beam extending the entire length of a ship at the bottom of the ship from stem to stern. That supports the frame. It prevents sagging or buckling and keeps the ship upright even in a storm so it will not capsize. And it keeps it stable and steady. Everybody say stable and steady. That's what we need to be, amen? It puts another meaning to the word uprightness. Being humble keeps you from being too top-heavy. God determines the winds which determine the waves of our lives. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, please. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says in 2 Timothy 4, 5, it says, we must keep our heads in all situations. Amen? We must keep our heads. That's in 2 Timothy 4, 5. You know, the head contains fluids in our inner ear that determines our balance. Our keel is our spine. The Lord showed me all this in the word pictures. It was awesome. If we turn spiritually in the wrong direction, in our minds, against the leading of the Holy Spirit, it could cause us to capsize or keel over, even if our spine is just fine. We must be heavy into truth to anchor us deep in our hearts and minds to walk uprightly as a God-fearing son or daughter of God. Amen? We are not to be tossed by every wind of doctrine. The battle of the mind is really getting intense in these last days. It is Yeshua who keeps us and sustains us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. God is our treasure, amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Amen. Like that weeble, we pop right back up again because we're anchored in the truths of God. Hallelujah. We must be concerned about the weightier matters of walking the Torah lifestyle. What are the weightier matters? the things that anchor us heavy into truth. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness are the heavier, weightier matters of walking the Torah lifestyle. These keep our keel heavy enough to keep us from capsizing. Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19 talks about our anchor, which is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Hebrews 6:19. Hallelujah. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Hebrews 6:19. Firm and secure. Everybody say firm.
Firm.
Secure.
Secure.
Who is our anchor?
Yeshua.
Amen. Yeshua is our anchor. He keeps us. And I say weigh anchor. That means take in the anchor. Take it on board ship. Weigh anchor. You grab that anchor. You keep Christ close. Amen.
Amen.
You run to Him. He is your stability. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We may rock wildly in the storms of life and get off course for a while, but we constantly make corrective moves to get back on course. We can slip and fall once in a while, but we get back up and look up and stay aboard ship. We cannot be swept overboard or keel over because that is certain death.
Amen.
Do not leave the faith. Can't be swept off the ship, the fellowship. Hallelujah. And flipping over, in other words, going the opposite direction of our God, is death. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Did you see the movie Perfect Storm? It's kind of like what happens in bad storms, man. If you're, you know, we can't be swept overboard or flip over. We can't let the waves of this life overtake us. Amen? Yeshua, our anchor, is our deep foundation of truth. Thank you, Lord. That will keep us upright and afloat. Like I said, the weightier matters of the law. Torah, which is Yeshua Himself, is His justice, His mercy, His faithfulness, are more important than the externals, like how to braid your or wear your tzitzit, or what Bible translation you're using, or how to pronounce God's name. Those are external things. They're not, you know, we need to keep the weightier matters like love, mercy, justice, faithfulness. Anyway, a lot of the externals are just surface things. Do we wear our tallit to show off our knowledge of our Hebrew roots, or do we wear it to get into the prayer closet to talk with our God intimately? How do we act towards others, especially in the church? Evaluate your actions by asking yourself these four questions. Before you act next time, in the church or out of the church, ask yourself these four questions. Number one, what is the goal of my behavior? Number two, who will be helped or who will be hurt? Number three, will Yeshua be lifted up by my actions? Think about it. Number four, does this action reveal or display God's love? Sharing Torah requires a deep spiritual connection and relationship with Yeshua. This relationship is lived out in a life that follows the precepts of the Torah. It is important not to fall prey to the idea that Torah consists of the externals, such as I mentioned earlier. Turn to Matthew 23, please. Matthew 23. Hallelujah. Matthew 23. God called off the snakes. And He didn't put up with him. These are the seven woes. Matthew 23. Start with verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you." Now Jesus is saying to obey the Pharisees, but He goes on. "But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Verse 5. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. I looked at phylacteries, and those are those boxes they put on their foreheads and the long leather twine that they make those long and their tallits real long. They want to be seen by men. Amen? We're still in verse 5. And now we're starting with 6. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. Stop right there, verse 16. That just shows you they are into money. You know, they'll believe you if you put some gold up there. Verse 17, you blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the outside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones, and everything is unclean. Everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, we have lived in the days of our forefathers. If we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourself that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers. Here it is, verse 33. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogue and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Stop right there. It says the righteous Abel, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. That's A to Z, folks, if you look at it. From Abel to Zechariah, that's A to Z. Hallelujah. Verse 36, I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you, gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, the Lord wants us, he wants to gather us under his protection, under his wing. He wants us close to him. The Lord gave me a vision recently on my birthday, and it was the best birthday present I've ever had. And I'm going to draw it out for you. Those on tape, sorry you lose out, because I can't draw on audio tape. So I'm going to show the crowd here. In Corinth, I think we're going to film it, so maybe I can get it on film for you there. But the Lord gave me a vision, and the Lord speaks to me in word pictures. I like to draw and paint and stuff like that. So when God gives me stuff, a lot of times it's visual. And I'm going to share it when we're done today. Hallelujah. See, now I forgot where I was going to go. Hallelujah. But anyway, we must thank God for our trials, knowing they build our character to His. Discipline is not always pleasant at first, but anything worthwhile requires training and testing. You can ask my friends here who work with people and exercising and weights and all that kind of stuff. No pain, no gain, amen? We'll have intense trials. And the ones that are the most intense are the subtle ones. The ones we don't realize have already infected us. But God is enabling us to shake with His Holy Ghost and fire, and those snakes are coming off. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 7:9. We'll go to the last sentence in that scripture, Isaiah 7:9. And it says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So we need to be weighed down with truth and all the things that Yeshua gives us to anchor us in His truths. Amen? He is the anchor of our soul. He is our high tower. And everything that He gives us, we need to not get lost in the details, because the devil is in the details. And we're so much of a technology world today that everything is moving so fast, there's a little bit too much information out there. And believe me, the devil is keeps pouring more and more information out there. Some of it's good. And you may grab good, but God has better. The devil will give you better. You might grab that, but God has best. The devil never has best. The devil will give you something good or give you something better, but only God gives you what's best. So don't fall for the little worm on the hook when you can have a T-bone steak with the Lord. Amen? So, amen. We know that God works so much better and has so much more good things for us. And the devil's defeated. Amen. I'm going to draw out the vision. Excuse me, I almost sneezed. All right, I guess we'll call this audio part's going out. So God bless y'all. Thank you for listening. Shake in the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't let that snakes attach to you, because everything that's fleshly, everything that's created can be shaken, but God's Word and His truth cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Hold on to God and you will not be shaken, because God will get them snakes off for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The end.